Welcome to Hype, episode 72. We are back with another amazing week of news. I'm actually super excited about this week because there's some huge stuff coming up. There's not a single story actually in the lineup that I'm not excited about, so this should be a lot of fun. My name is Selena, and I'm joined this week by Pam and Merrima, and now who's that? I forget. It's been too long.
Is it Steve? I'm sure it's Steve.
Christopher?
I don't even remember.
Something like Clyde.
Yeah, I think it's Clyde.
Is it Andrew?
Oh, it's Clyde.
Oh, it's
right.
Oh. It's not Andrew? What?
Just kidding, Kyle. We love you.
I mean, all I have to do is talk about Bruce Springsteen and I'll be Andrew.
Welcome back, Kyle. It's been a long time.
I know. It's been a while. Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy to, like, finally be able to record another episode.
Yes. Yes. And we are happy to hear your thoughts and all the things you care about and a few things you don't on this week's Hype. Before we move on with the show, I just want to remind everyone on how you can find us, how you can get in contact with us and contribute your comments to the show. You can, of course, find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. Click the little plus in the left-hand corner, and you can find the podcasts, and you can leave your comments on the podcast post. You can also find us on Twitter, at hypablehype, and you can find us on Instagram, at hypablehype, and you can email us at hype@hypable.com. And please do that, because we get so much great feedback and we love to bring it into the discussion and to bring it up in the feedback section, and we just love hearing from you, basically. So do not hesitate to do that. And thank you to everyone who is contributing. Grammar. I'm doing my best. So I think that's all the ways you can contact us. There's plenty of ways. So let's move into How We Hype, which is where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom the past week or what we'll be doing in the upcoming week. And I want to start with Kyle because I've missed your beautiful voice.
Oh my goodness.
You might even say it gives me goosebumps.
Oh, I see what you did there. Well, the most recent thing actually was goosebumps, and then today's
what?
Saw the Martian.
Sorry.
No, today I saw The Martian, which is great. I'll talk about Goosebumps because you guys have already talked about The Martian, and it was actually really good. Cheesy is all hell because, I mean, it's Goosebumps, but mm-hmm. It was hysterical, and I really liked it a lot. And there was a couple of twists in there that I didn't see coming, and I loved the Goosebumps books a lot as a kid, so it was just really a huge sense of nostalgia as I was watching. And I don't know, it's just if you're looking for a really fun movie, Goosebumps is great. Like, if you just want to be entertained.
Awesome. That's really good. I don't know if I'm planning to watch it because I was never really into those as a kid. But I'm glad to hear it's good. And Merrima, you've read a book. An important book.
I actually started it again because I think I may have talked about this last time, but I kind of forgot what happened. So I read again Career of Evil by Robert Galbraith / J.K. Rowling. And this is the third book in her Cormoran Strike series. And I have quite liked the first one and I really like the second one. I don't want to spoil, but I found this one quite tough going, not because of the writing or anything, but just because of the subject matter. She kind of picks a theme with each book. Like in the first one, we had celebrity, and in the second one, we had like the literary circle. And the theme of this one is very much like violence against women. And it's really hard to read because she puts you in the mind of the person who is the murderer that the book kind of centers on, but you also get all of these other characters, and the book is basically looking back at Strike's life and seeing who might want to hurt him and hurt Robin. And you know, he's pissed off a few people, and all of these people are like pedophiles and sexual abusers and murderers and rapists, and it's just like really horrible to read. And it should be really confronting, so like she does it very well. But for me personally, I generally would choose not to read a book that had this kind of content. So that, I guess, that's like a warning for people going into it. It's really, really dark. And I actually saw an interview that Rowling did with NPR that I have like had bookmarked to listen to for a little while. But in one of the excerpts from that, she says that this is the first book that actually gave her nightmares while she was trying to write it. And having read it, I totally understand why, because it is terrifying.
I listened to that interview, and she mentioned that she wrote a couple of chapters from the perspective of the murderer. Like,
yeah.
So how was that? Because that's the first, if I'm not wrong, this is the first Galbraith book to do that. So how did that
translate? I was trying to remember that as well, because I haven't actually reread either of the others, but I'm pretty sure that this is the first one that's done that. And, you know, I get why, because the crime is very personal in a way to Strike and to Robin. So she wants to give you that insight, but it's really disturbing that the kind of, it definitely contributes to the story, but it's incredibly disturbing for the reader to experience that. And, you know, it works well in terms of it builds a lot of tension and this sense of foreboding that is even more apparent in this than in the previous two books. But I did find it quite tough going, those sections in particular. And then, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, it was a little rough. And if it wasn't a J.K. Rowling book, I should say, I probably wouldn't have finished it, because I just really don't like books and media like this. So yeah, that's I don't know, some other people might feel the same way. If you feel like that, you might want to just wait and like read the spark notes or something of it and kind of skip the book, because yeah, it's pretty rough.
But you know, I mean, this is kind of related to that, because we're not going to bring this up in the news really, but J.K. Rowling did say that she's writing another children's book. So if you're like, I love J.K. Rowling, yay, but this is too dark for me, then you can sort of take comfort in knowing that there's more light stuff coming. And then I guess, Pam, you've got something in quotes that I don't know what means. Is it a song?
It's a movie.
Oh, okay. You just threw me off there with the other formatting.
That's all right. I just didn't want... Well, it actually is a song. It's the name of a song. But this is actually a music documentary, because I am that predictable, called All Things Must Pass, which is actor Colin Hanks' music documentary about the rise and fall of Tower Records, which is a cultural icon around the world. The actual record store opened in the 1960s. So it starts from there, and actually it was born in an old pharmacy, like thrift store type place up in Sacramento, which is the capital of California. And it kind of just talks about how the founder just kind of took that and ran with it, and how it just started opening all over the world and like all over the state and all over the country. And it was really, really lovely. I am very picky about my music documentaries, but I really enjoyed this one. And if you're a fan of just pop culture, I think you'll really... I feel like I always say that, but if you're a fan of like history of music, then this is something that you should really watch, because I feel like record stores are, unfortunately, they're like a dying breed. There are a couple peppered here and there, but for a while they were cultural hotspots. I mean, an almost famous Penny Lane says famously that if you're ever lonely, you can go to the record store and visit your friends. And that was like a very true sentiment. So it talks about like how all like this record store just brought all kinds of different people together, because you could go in and make a friend for a day talking to the guy behind the register, or you could meet somebody in the aisle, or like you never really know who you're going to run into. And like, so they have interviews with people like Elton John and Bruce Springsteen. They talk about how they used to go there because when they would tour, they would feel lonely. And like one of the nice things about finding a record store is that you could always find something to do, or, you know, somebody who kind of understood your love for music and stuff like that. So anyway, I highly recommend it. It's out in theaters now, and it's a really nice watch, and it leaves you with a really happy feeling too. So it's not all doom and gloom, in case you were worried about like going into and just hearing about how, you know, the man brought a cultural institution down or things like that.
So. Yeah. And I'm sure that I'm sure Colin Hanks wouldn't appreciate it, but I also know and love him from Roswell. So yes,
that, I mean, like true love lasts a lifetime.
Yes.
So yeah, everything he does, I'll pretty much watch. I adore him. This was really great.
So we've just got a couple of more things here for how we hype, because we've all been doing lots of crazy fun stuff, and I actually want to talk a little bit about Cursed Child, the musical, the much contested musical in London based on J.K. Rowling's technically, officially...
The play?
What did I say?
The musical?
Did I?
Oh, yeah, you totally just
sorry. I'm sorry. It is not a musical.
I was like, wait, has something happened?
I'm
like,
still hoping this is
asleep today. Has there been an announcement? Like, what?
No.
She was just really hoping for a musical.
I was just hoping that we would get there and it would be like a surprise Harry Potter musical sequel instead.
I'll sing you a surprise Harry Potter musical if you like, Selena. I'll write you one.
Thank you. I would appreciate that.
It would be like the new Hamilton, and then you would be really excited.
Yes.
Right.
Little Hamilton.
Hamilton.
All right. So, but anyway,
Hamilton
so
Potter.
We are all well, I say all, that's not true. But so the play is happening in London starting next summer, and obviously unhypeable, lots of us want to go and some can't go. Like, we've talked about all of this with it not being easily available to people from all over the world. This is finally something that I can go to, like, that is within my price range. So I'm just like,
it also makes me laugh because we've talked so much about how, like, nothing happens in your neck of the woods, but then you have, like, EFI and you have, like, the Inside Out thing, and then you have Harry Potter.
You live in Australia, so you are not allowed to complain
anymore.
Literally nothing happens here. Like, nothing happens here.
Yeah, at least I still have to go to another country, but at least it's not, you know.
To go to another country from here is, like, 15 hours to a day on a plane.
Yeah, and for you, it's, like,
very little sympathy.
It's like a train ride. You're like in a new country.
Yeah.
No, I can't go on the train. You look on a map.
But it's like a prime opportunity to experience, you know, all of what Harry Potter
anyway,
has to offer.
Anyway, yes. Having not gone to any of the American attractions, I am very excited that I get to do this, at least. And lots of us are going from Hypable, and we all got up, or some of us got up on Wednesday morning to book our tickets. And it was crazy. It was mad. People were freaking out on Twitter, and we were the same, because we thought, you know, it's in retrospect, it's so dumb, because we were like, what show do we want to go to, what times, you know, how many tickets, maybe I don't need to get up because someone else will get my ticket. No, it was crazy. They placed you somewhere randomly in the line. Not a lot of us actually had places in the line for the advance booking, because, like, there were all these steps you had to complete, and some of us, like, hadn't clicked the link at the right time and stuff like that. So in the end, it was, like, me and Donya and Richard and a few other people, and Donya and Richard were, like, number 4,000. I was, like, number 20,000 in the queue. So it was just, it was madness, and people kept getting kicked out of the queue, and they kept, like, not being able to order tickets, and I tried to order tickets for Michael and just totally failed because it just wouldn't. It was a nightmare, but we got tickets, so we cannot complain about anything. And we actually got tickets for June, so it's one of the earliest
showings.
Yeah, we
lucked out. We got the early ones.
Yeah. And speaking about not getting to complaining, Merima, yes?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, let me tell you what's great about this story, is I was like, oh, I can't go. This is the worst. We had a kind of group going for this, and I left it in fury because I lived in the Southern Hemisphere.
But you always go to America for stuff. I don't understand this.
But she's doing something else this year, so she can't.
Well, also...
yeah, but that's awesome, too.
It's more expensive, so it's, like, cheaper to go to America. I was like, oh, I can't go. This is the worst. And then you all got tickets for my birthday.
Oh, no.
Show. And I was like, I'm going to kill everyone. Like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And then I was like, actually, like, maybe I can go. But, oh, cool. I can't buy tickets until, like, 2017 now. This is the worst. And then I was talking to Donya, who's been on Hype before, I think. And we were talking about something else. And I was complaining about this. And she was like, oh, like, we have two spare tickets if you want one. And I was like... Like, my conversation here is, like, just capital letters. What? Like, how? What? When? Who do I pay? I want it. So I just, like, swooped in there and got a ticket for, like, they're in the previews. It's my birthday. It's in June. I'm going to try my hardest to get there. But, yeah, I'm, like, very pleased about the way I organized that because I didn't get up at, like, 3 a.m.
Wait.
And I didn't stress at all.
Am I the only person that's not going from this panel?
But we still, like, have a ticket left, so.
Yeah, there's one ticket left.
Stop. Oh, my God. No.
Pam, just buy the ticket. Okay, we talk about this after the show.
Yeah. Okay. because I'm regretting not doing it now, but I'm like,
that's how I felt. And I'm saying, just buy the ticket.
There's a ticket left.
Maybe I will just, I mean, I have like 9 months to save up, right? We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later.
I'm sure Selena is going to cut this bit out of the show.
I'll cut all the complaining thing out because I feel like we are extremely privileged as we are, and there's lots of people who don't get to do anything who live all over the world, not just Australia. So it'll be, I'm really hoping that they.
I'm pretty sure Australia is worse than everywhere, objectively, because I said so on Twitter one time. So,
well, bring on your comments. So, anyway, like, I think. I really hope, I mean, Andrew wrote up an article about this. I really hope they make this available somehow. I know it's not the same as seeing it live, but if it helps anyone, I'll be sitting at the very, very cheapest seat right behind a railing peeking out from above. So my seating won't be amazing, but it was super cheap. So I'll take it. So, I mean, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. And hopefully, because it doesn't, everyone's saying it doesn't feel very Harry Potter-ish to close it off because it is an official sequel. So. We'll keep you guys updated on that. And I want to bring up one last thing here in How We Hype. You know, last week I talked about Suffragette, which I believe is out. It's super confused. I have no idea what's going on with that. But Brooklyn, the movie, another movie I saw at BFI, is out in limited release today, Wednesday, November 4th in the US. It stars Saoirse Ronan and Donald Gleeson and Julie Walters. And it's very, very, very good. And I know you've seen it too, Pam.
Yes, I'm so excited I can finally talk about this because I saw it a while ago and I was embargoed until closer to the release date. And it's just such a good feel-good film. I never read the book, but I know that you did and you were still pleased with it. So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
For me. But yeah, it was just so lovely. And the way this is just such a lovely story and it's so well acted. And I just really enjoyed it a lot. Like, I would go see it again. And I highly recommend it if you're looking for something nice to watch. It's going to leave you with a really happy feeling.
Yeah, the acting is extremely good. It's so layered. And by the way, now I know Arrow fans, Emily Bette Richards is in this. And like, I had no idea who she was. I was like, oh, that's a good actor. And I saw her in Arrow. I was like, yeah, it's that girl from Brooklyn. It's a very, very good film. And obviously it's set in 1950s New York, which is just a gorgeous time period. And it's this whole, and set in Ireland too. And like, what's not to like? And Saoirse Ronan is fantastic. She's such a good actress. She's growing up to be a really, really good performer, and she picks really interesting projects. And we've got an interview actually with Nick Hornby later today, and he wrote the screenplay for it, and he's also obviously an author in his own right. And he talks about like how he changed the script a little bit for the big screen, and he sort of made her wavering between the two guys and the two countries a little bit more ambivalent, which I think was good. Because, like, when I read the book, I wanted her to in one place. And when I saw the movie, I actually wanted her in another place. So I thought that was kind of funny. And Donald Gleeson is so charming in the movie. And it's just, it's very, very good. Lots of coverage on it on Hypeable. I don't know how you're going to find it, but tweet me and I'll send you the links. So, so let's move on to news now. We've all hyped a lot, which is fun. So first up in the news, we have a lot of stories to talk about this week, and we have a lot of big stories to talk about. And I'm going to go first because I feel like this story, it's kind of coupled with the second story, but this one just broke yesterday and it totally blew up. It got like 7,000 Facebook shares and it's crazy. We've been talking about this actually for a while. It's finally happened. Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials series, which failed on the big screen, is coming to BBC One as a TV series. Oh my God. Bring on the What's Your Demon quizzes. I'm so excited. This is just, I wrote in the doc, this is my Gilmore Girls, and it really is. This is what I've been waiting for. I feel like there is no, this story deserves a visual representation because it's such a fantastical story and such a fantastic world, and the movie just failed utterly and it was such a disappointment. And the fact that the BBC is picking it up, not Netflix, not like Hulu, but the BBC, just gives me so much hope that this will be like, I don't, not that the others can't do a good job, but it feels like it belongs there, you know what I mean? It's just I'm so happy. Am I alone in my happiness? Is everyone just miserable?
Are you kidding? I'm like having an aneurysm. I like, I know Selena claims that this is her equivalent of Gilmore Girls, but let me say that this is my equivalent of Gilmore Girls. Like, this
it can be
everything.
Both of our equivalent of Gilmore Girls.
This beats everything else. When this news broke, I was about to go to sleep last night, and the news broke, and I was awake for an hour and a half, just basically having a prolonged heart attack at what this meant, and like, how many seasons were they going to do, and how long would the seasons be, and oh, like, when are they going to introduce the different characters, and is Philip Pullman going to consult on it, and we going to get extra information from the Book of Dust, which is like the equivalent of the Harry Potter encyclopedia for fans of his Dark Materials. This is amazing. This is going to be the perfect medium for this series. It never could have been done as a film, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And I had kind of given up hope that it would ever be done right. And yeah, this is just like, it just came out of nowhere. I still can't believe it. It makes me so, so happy. I was trying to think, like, his Dark Materials, I would have started reading it about the same time I started reading Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So that's like 2/3 of my life that I have spent loving these books. And I have a weirder, closer, more protective attachment, I think, of his Dark Materials than I have of Potter, maybe just because it's still so closely linked to the books for me versus, mm-hmm, like, Harry Potter, mm-hmm, has become this whole phenomenon. So I just really hope that they get this right. I don't even know how they could possibly meet fan expectations at this point because, you know, the fan base around this will be very skeptical based on the film, but also very hopeful because, you know, this is kind of the medium I think that it should have been done in the first place. So, you know, I wish them luck, but BBC, I agree, is a great choice. And they keep comparing it to Game of Thrones. Like, oh, it's just blowing, yeah, my mind. I can't even form a sentence about this right now. It's too soon, but basically it's the best news and I'm very, very excited.
I just feel like,
also,
yeah, go
super
on.
Stoked.
Oh, have you read them?
Well, I'm
Kyle, don't even say, okay, you only saw the film.
No. I haven't even watched the film.
It's my favorite film.
I haven't watched the film. It was the second series that I've started after Potter, I think, and one of the first series, like, I have a connection to the series, but it's also the first series that I haven't finished ever, and it's the first book that I've never finished. Like, among all of the books that I've picked up and not put down, his Dark Materials was the first
one.
Was it
the elephant people that put you off? Because they put me off.
No, I don't remember specifically what it was, and I just really, really, really liked it. But I just put it, I remember putting it down and not putting it back up.
Like, it's, which book?
The first one.
Oh,
I thought
it was the series. Oh my god.
It's encompassed.
Kyle. You have to read it. Everything changes.
Literally, the only thing I remember from that entire series is her hiding in a cupboard and listening to a conversation. Oh,
that's not very exciting.
Kyle!
And I had no idea how to pronounce daemons or demons. I was, like, very confused, and I really want to pick it back up.
Yeah, you have to.
Like, I don't say this lightly, but I like this more than Harry Potter, so you should these books.
I think my favorite is the second book.
Me too.
Yeah, it's so good. It's really worth it.
I have to say the third one, mm-hmm, probably for
also
all
very
reasons
good
that you don't like it. But I actually really love that storyline that you were mentioning.
What, the Malefa thing? Oh my god.
Yeah. No, because it brings the, like, we could get into a whole thing.
Yeah.
We should do a hype special about this.
Yes.
But it, like, brings it all together for me. And, mm-hmm, basically, like, people who are listening to this show are obviously Harry Potter fans. His Dark Materials is one of the best conceived and executed fantasy series that exists in the world. So if you like Harry Potter, I think you will like this. And I know that seems like a really big generalization, but I think, like, you know, it's more grown up than Harry Potter in a way.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, it deals with, you kind of have the similar entry point, like, you start off with the younger kids and it kind of expands from there. I would strongly recommend everyone check, mm-hmm, it out, considering this news, if they have not read it already. And Kyle, I am talking directly to you,
yes,
at this moment.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, unfortunately we can't spend the whole show talking about this, although I kind of want to, but I do have one question that I'm waiting for them to answer. Is obviously this is a TV series based on the book, so I'm really curious to find out if they're gonna do a straight adaptation series or if they're gonna use the world as a springboard, kind of like Shadowhunters kind of is gonna do, where they are gonna do what happens in the book, but they're gonna adapt it a little bit and make it long, like make the storylines work for television more. And I would honestly, I would be okay with either way. Like, I would prefer the straight adaptation. But, I mean, the first season is set to have 13 episodes, and we have no idea how many seasons there are going to be. So we have to assume the 13 episodes span the first book, but then there can only be 3 seasons. And if they're planning to make this a franchise, then they might spin it off in a different way.
I think they could do 2 seasons per book easily.
Yeah, I think they could. I wonder if they will.
Well, if the Babel, like, commit to it, then... Mm-hmm. I think it's going to make money.
I think they'll commit to anything.
Yeah. And, you know, considering the response that this has had, that must be encouraging to them.
Yeah.
But we will see.
And considering he's comparing it to Game of Thrones of Pullman himself, I think that might tell us a little bit about how they're going to adapt it too. We'll have to wait and see. Definitely very, very exciting.
Oh,
yay! And we're like all so far into the show, and we're only on the second story, but I guess this conversation will be a little bit shorter.
Oh, yeah. You mean the Star Trek TV series that no one really knows all that much about? I don't know. I feel like Marima, like, are you a Star Trek fan?
No.
Okay. Well then, never mind. let's start with the news then. Star Trek is returning as a TV series.
Yay!
As you all remember, clearly we were all alive when the first series was here in the 70s or 80s. And
the 60s?
The new series, I don't think it was the 60s.
It was
1966. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Holy there you go. Okay. I do know stuff.
Yeah. Well, the new series is going to premiere. It's going to be on CBS. And I like how the director, the executive vice president, had said it's going to go boldly where no first-run Star Trek series has gone before.
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be on CBS's all-access streaming site, so it's not actually going to be on the... Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, you know what they're trying to do, which I think is really interesting, is they're basically using the new Star Trek series to turn their streaming site into, like, a Netflix type of thing.
Mm.
So they're saying, like, the vice president of Horizon said, like, he thinks that Star Trek is a show that could bolster CBS All Access and put it on the same footing as Netflix or Amazon, which I wonder if Star Trek, even Star Trek fans are feeling a little bit saturated at this point, that there's going to be such a strong demand for this. But it is interesting that they're spinning it off, especially because the movie series is still happening.
I feel like they're putting it on their streaming site isn't going to get a lot of people to watch it.
Yeah.
I think most people are going to be too lazy or not going to care enough if it's not something they can just go on DVR or go on their normal TV. Because while, like, the new generation is all about, if, like, you want to introduce them to something, you're going to want to get them used to something that they already know, while they can use
the next generation.
Well, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, if you're going to reboot Star Trek, reboot it on normal CBS or do it on Netflix or something where this current generation is already on actively and proactively, instead of trying to get them to go on a new thing. And that really only, I feel like, the dedicated Star Trek fans are going to be going on that.
But thing I do kind of like about this is that we, you know, Star Trek, the obviously Star Trek was at home on television, and they have many times rebooted the series with new people and for the next generation, for, you know, Voyager, for, you know, they have all these different sort of related spin-offs that aren't really spin-offs because they're all related to the same thing. And I feel like it's interesting that they're basically just bringing it back, because it's not like X-Files or like Full House or whatever. It's like, it's a continuation of a thing that makes, that has carried on for 50 years already. And if the audience is there, I hope the audience is there for it, because it is cool that it's been running for so long, you know? But it just feels a little strange to me. But, I mean, people are excited. The comments on Hypeable say, you know, it's about time and it's so exciting. And they're so excited as well because Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci are involved, and they are, like, big Star Trek people. So it's not like J.J. Abrams coming in and doing a new thing, which a lot of people don't like. So people are kind of feeling like this show might make up for the movies that have kind of derailed the franchise a little bit. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay, so is it my turn to talk?
Yes.
Is that the third news story?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So in news that means I have to actually go and see Star Wars, we have found out that Captain America Civil War's trailer
is going
People
aren't gonna
going
to go see Star Wars?
Oh, like, probably, but not in the opening day or whatever. Now I'm like, Captain America. Anyway, let me finish that sentence. Captain America Civil War trailer is going to premiere with Star Wars The Force Awakens. And this surprises basically no one because, you know, they're huge properties for Disney, so that's cool. But anyway, whatever. It's
exciting. A long time to wait, though, isn't it? Happening.
It is a long time to wait.
Because they already had a trailer.
I kind of thought we would have seen something like by now, a bit closer to whatever. But,
especially because it already premiered on D23, so we know it's there and it's done.
Right. I wonder if it's going to be the same one, though. Often they, like, switch it up a little bit from the stuff that they bring because they're horrible people who want to divide fans. But, you know, it's basically, it's such a non-news news story because, like, everyone assumed that at this point they're not going to release anything now before Star Wars. So, yeah. Times.
Exciting.
We'll be going to see. I must be the only person in the world who's suddenly like, oh, I should go and see Star Wars. That would be good.
I think so.
Anyway, I was going to see it. Just now I feel a greater incentive to go.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course. It's not my story. Sorry. It's Pam's story.
It is my story. So we got a little bit more superhero news. This story was really interesting to me because I remember reading about this kind of a while back. So what's going on is that apparently Matthew McConaughey has in the past been offered a couple of roles or at least been sent scripts for Marvel movies. And he's always turned them down because he says that for him, it's about reading a script and feeling if the role is right for him or if seeing that something resonates with him because, you know, he is a true actor,
of
as
course.
It were.
Yes.
And so now we know, although you do have to, I mean, I'm actually being serious because if you can take your career from like rom-com man to like serious drama, like props to you. But that's neither here nor there. So now we know that the role that he apparently was teasing that he had turned down in an article that showed up in the Hollywood Reporter a couple of months back was actually the villain role in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which is very, very interesting because I was trying to figure out what he could have been offered. And this makes a lot of sense when you think about Matthew McConaughey. Like, he'd do something like a little serious, but also a little funny. And I feel like that would have been right up his alley, but maybe
he
just
would be a good villain. I think.
Yeah, he would. Because he's kind of like, he can do the crazy. So
yeah.
It would have been fun to see him in this. But, you know, he just didn't think the role was right for him. So interestingly enough, with this report, there are also reports that actress Pom Clementeef has joined the film in an unknown role. And she's kind of like a little known French actress who was seen in the movie Old Boy that came out a couple of years ago. So she has not been attached to anything, but it's very possible that she might have been offered the villain role now that McConaughey has apparently bowed out. Although it's kind of too early to tell exactly.
Interesting.
I have such an irrational dislike of Matthew McConaughey that I don't want to see him in anything ever. And I don't know how to shake that. Like, I can't
That's
get
how I feel
that.
About Richard Gere. It's weird. Oh. It doesn't make, like, it's just a, like, I just, his face, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey's, like, so orange, and, like, when he does speeches, he's so southern, and, like, he was in all these terrible movies with Kate Hudson, and, like, I just find him the worst, and everyone's like, but watch True Detective, and you'll get it, and I'm like, I've watched some of True Detective, and the whole time I just kept thinking, like, shut up, Matthew McConaughey, I can't switch off that part of my brain.
It's weird how that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, anytime he passes on anything, I'm like, great.
What about Dallas Buyers Club? No?
I haven't seen that, but again, because of Matthew McConaughey, like, I just, yeah.
You know,
I can't watch him.
Loves Matt Damon, hates Matthew
McConaughey. Yeah.
Apparently Matt's polarized you.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And it's funny you say that because I kind of actually also feel that way about the actress in our next story. Like, I legitimately, I'm like, oh, it's so weird. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, carry on. That was like your perfect transition, Kyle. What are you waiting for?
Sorry. Well, in other superhero news, Nicole Kidman. Oh my goodness. Nicole Kidman is rumored to join Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman, which is really exciting.
Yes.
And it's reported that she's going to be playing a high-ranking Amazonian warrior, which totally fits her because she's like almost, what, like 6 feet tall?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's really tall. And so it's likely, or like the rumored opinion is that she's going to be playing, I don't know how to say her name, Hippolodia? Is that right? AKA Wonder Woman's mom. So that would be interesting. But
yeah.
Like, is it just me or am I the only one who thinks like, I guess she's not too young to play her mom, but like whoever is playing Gal Gadot doesn't look like, it doesn't look like there's a big age difference.
But I'm pretty sure that they sort of age differently. Marima, please correct me on this, but I feel like that's part of the Wonder Woman myth.
The age thing is like not a big deal. I mean, that's funny that you don't like Nicole Kidman, because I was also like, Nicole Kidman. Like, do we want? Everyone seems to be really excited, and I'm like, do we want her in Wonder Woman?
That's how I feel too.
Every time I've seen her in anything recently, like she can't move her face anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, if you want to, whatever, like plastic surgery, if that's your thing. But like, she generally like, she can't move part of her face anymore. So like, I feel like that would impede somewhat on her ability to act. But maybe not. I don't know. Whatever. This continues. It plays into my Wonder Woman theory of like, any news is good news because it means there's less chance it's that they happening. Can cancel this movie.
Yes.
Right. So we'll take anything. Nicole Kidman, fine. I don't even care. Yeah. Whoever. Yeah. Cast anyone. I'll take Matthew McConaughey.
Just he'll be the dad. Yeah. And obviously, like, age in Hollywood, you know, like, they cast like people younger and younger, and it's ridiculous anyway. So yeah, I'm totally with Marima on this. The most exciting part of the story is that it's still happening, and DC haven't delayed it yet, so we're crossing our fingers for you. We believe in you. And Wonder Woman is set to come out in 2018, so for now. Or no, that's a lie. 2017 in June. Yes. And next story, speaking of women, oh my gosh, guys, there's so many strong women stories this week that are super exciting. This news is kind of strange because, as we know, sequels are a thing that's happening, and reboots and prequels and sequels and all the combinations of the above. And the latest franchise to be rebooted is Ocean's 11, but it seems like they are taking a page out of the Ghostbusters book of how to do a reboot and recasting the movie with all women. The Ocean's 11 first movie, I believe, came out somewhere around 2004, I think, somewhere around that. And it's, you know, had this all-star cast of Brad Pitt and your boy Matt Damon and George Clooney, Andy Garcia, Bernie Mac. And the new female-led reboot is set to star Sandra Bullock, which is actually interesting because she also kind of took over from George Clooney in the movie Our Brand is Crisis, which is in theaters now and apparently not doing so well, unfortunately. It'll be interesting to see how this is received, too, considering all of the insane amount of hate that Ghostbusters has been getting. But I like this news. I think, why not? Like, if they are going to reboot it, and we know they are going to reboot everything, they might as well, you know, get some more women on screen.
I love this news.
Yeah?
Ocean's 11 was in 2001, just okay. FYI, not a big deal, but just that like from one super fan to another. Okay. Yeah, I think I've talked on Hype before about my like obsessive love of heist movies. Uh-huh. So, and my obsessive love of women, obviously. So this is
and
great.
And Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. But like, whatever. We've had the Ocean series. That's cool. I'm so excited to see like an all women heist group. That's awesome. And it makes sense. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that you can, like, this is the kind of thing to me that makes sense for them to sort of reboot or like redo, because as with, I think when we're talking about Charlie's Angels, I was saying the same thing. Like, it doesn't have a specific plot, you know? It's just like, group of people steal something, like that's the movie, and then it can be anything and it can be any group of people, and that's really fun. And so yeah, I want to see like 10 like ladies just breaking in and being awesome and playing like great swing like swagger music as they drive around and be cool. So yeah, I'm super into this. And you know, it's been a while since we've had an Ocean's movie, so this is better than getting like Ocean's 27 or something. Yes. I would much rather have like Ocean's 11 with women.
Yes, me too.
Cool. Well, if I'm the only one who's excited, well, I guess
Ocean's 11 movies or any of those Ocean stuff movies. So I had no idea what they were about. Okay. I didn't know they were heist movies.
They're what? Great, but yeah. But you guys kind of said everything.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I guess it's also worth pointing out that like the Ocean's 11 movie was also like a remake of a very old movie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a remake of a remake or whatever. Anyway, okay, well, moving on from remakes, let's talk about something new. We found out this week that we are getting a film adaptation of Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. This is a book that came out this year by Becky Albertalli, and if I didn't talk about it on hype, let me quickly say now, everyone read this book. It's amazing. I read it, don't know, when it came out, I guess, or before. I think I reviewed it, actually, so I definitely read it earlier.
I think Andrew talked about it on the show, too. Oh, go on, sorry.
Yeah, and I interviewed the author, and basically it's about this guy, Simon, who is in the closet, and he meets another kid at his school anonymously through, like, an online Tumblr, I think it's on Tumblr, and so they're basically pen pals, and they're gay, but you know they're not out at their school, and it's set in the South in America, and basically he starts getting blackmailed by someone who threatens to out him, and it's really it's just really great. It's so smart and so funny, and I don't know, everyone loves this book, so this is really really exciting. It's going to be Fox 2000, and it's from the team who have done Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns and the Maze Runner films. So that's very exciting. And yeah, I'm super into it. I don't know. Have any of you guys read it?
Not yet.
No, I've heard a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It came out on the same day as my friend Adam Silvera's book, and like he keeps talking about it. So, and he keeps trying to convince me to read it. So
I heard that came out on the same day as my friend Adam. And I was like, oh, what a coincidence.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah, good one. Well, I definitely recommend people check it out. It's just, the author is actually writing a companion book, but as a standalone YA, it's just so fantastic. It's a really great contribution to like the LGBT, not like genre, but you know, books that are, I think we're seeing more of these books that, you know, people want to read these kinds of stories, and it is a very inclusive book. It covers like the whole spectrum, and so I really appreciated that as a reader, and it's just so funny, and Simon is just so great, and all of the friends are so good, and they feel like real characters, and I think that's partly because the author worked as like a god, I'm gonna get whatever her term was wrong now, but like she worked as a counselor or a psychologist with LGBTQ teens, so a lot of the stuff that's in the book like comes from those kids talking about their experiences and explaining to her, you know, the things that they are going through and how they're feeling, and it really comes across in the page. So I would definitely recommend. I can't talk this book up more than I feel about it. I just love every part of it, and
awesome.
I'm really excited that they're making a movie, because these are the kinds of stories that we need to be seeing.
Great. And next story?
I'm really excited about this one. We finally got our first look at the Fantastic Beasts like title art, which is always really interesting to see how they first decide to like market a movie, and I'm really excited. The logo looks great. It's in the style, it's like the metallic style, kind of like the Harry Potter was and like the bevel, but it's different because every letter is like themed, quote unquote, by a different beast in the film, the most notable being one that looks like a dragon as the S. And it looks just really good. They launched their entire media campaign today. So they launched their Facebook account, Twitter account, Instagram, And tomorrow, of course, it's going to be tomorrow when we're done recording this. They're going to give us our first look at the actual film. So should be pretty exciting.
Cool.
I don't know. Are you guys as stoked as I am? Because like, it doesn't sound like it.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
but okay. I try not to hype myself up too much, despite what I... Yeah.
Yeah, Pam's like trying to be all level-headed about this. I'm losing my mind.
I am.
I think
I should. I mean, I interned at the company that's premiering this, so I've been hearing from some people that it's really cool. But I'm also like, but don't tell me anything because I don't want to be like so excited and then just be like, oh, that's it.
So what do you think we're gonna see? Like, what are we gonna see from
Newt running through the woods?
I feel like it's probably just gonna be Newt's commander and like a dragon or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, like
something about him, like it's gonna be something like, you know, like when Harry, do you remember that still with Harry like reaching out to touch Buckbeak for the first time? Yeah. I feel like we're gonna get something like that.
Oh, imagine if they just did the exact same pose.
That'd be cute. Except, you know what? I keep forgetting that Eddie Redmayne is Newt's commander. Which is so terrible.
Like, who are you imagining? Daniel Radcliffe or something?
No, Ben Whishaw. Of course, Ben Whishaw.
Well, like, in our dreams, Pam. When Pam and I go and see the movie, we would just have a little cutout of Ben Whishaw's face that we would just hold up in front of Eddie's when he's on screen.
No. But yeah, I think it's going to be something like that. It's going to have to be something like whimsical, but also more than just like...
It'd be really funny if, like, they recreated, like, those really... Do you remember those really awkward promotional stills they did for the Philosopher's Stone? And when they were standing on the broom and he was, like, looking to the side.
Oh, my God.
Or, like,
the first cover of Harry Potter where he's just, like, he's got his hands crossed and it's, like, schoolboy pose.
Yes.
Like, oh, God.
Wow. Oh my God, yeah.
That would be great.
So now that we have set our expectations ridiculously high, I guess we just have to wait and see what they actually do.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to less exciting news, but I'm also actually really excited about this, you guys. AMC released their first trailer for an upcoming TV series called Preacher, which is also based off of a comic book series. It follows the story of Jesse Custer, who is a conflicted preacher in Texas, in a small town in Texas. And then all of a sudden, he is inhabited by this mysterious thing that kind of just gives him unconventional powers. And so then he sets off on a quest with his ex-girlfriend and an Irish vampire, and they're trying to find God. So this sounds a little crazy, but also sounds really awesome. And this series is actually being developed by Seth Rogen and his writing partner Evan Goldberg, along with Sam Catlin. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for this, but it actually made me really excited for the show. And I'm also really excited because the cast is great. Like Dominic Cooper,
Dominic Cooper. Oh my gosh.
And then they've got two Misfit alums, which really excites me because I'm all about the British actors. So we have we have Ruth Negga and also Joseph Gilgun, who are both awesome. So I'm just really excited to see all three of these people in one show. Mm-hmm. I can't be like more excited for this. So I hope it lives up to the expectations.
Me too. I'm very excited for this. And you're right, the trailer totally got me on board too. All right, so another TV show that I'm super excited about, which is, I guess there's not much to say about it except that I find it really funny. So Van Helsing, the property that kind of ish failed as a movie. Oh, that's the one that came out in 2004, starring Hugh Jackman. It didn't do super well, but what is Hollywood if not a place where franchises just have life and life and life and life again? So they are literally resurrecting the Van Helsing franchise, but rebranding it as a TV show. And more excitingly, speaking of female-led stuff, they are making the show about a woman. So originally, before the movie, Van Helsing was a side character in Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I guess what they're doing is kind of going back to his Dracula roots, but introducing Vanessa Helsing, who is resurrected 5 years in the future from whatever point to find that the world has overrun by vampires. And it turns out, I mean, coincidentally, you know, Vanessa Helsing is the person with the power to defeat the vampires. She is the chosen one. She stands alone against the demons and the forces of darkness. Oh, so she is the... That's the wrong show. So she is basically Buffy. And it's really funny. She has, you know, they describe her as like she's the next in the lineage of warriors who must lead mankind against the world controlled by vampires.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
What? They've just ripped that synopsis.
Completely from Buffy. And she possesses unique power over them and is essentially humanity's last hope. So, I mean, I wrote it up in an article full of snark, of course, but I actually think this could be kind of fun because, I mean, I love Buffy and Buffy's not on TV anymore. So taking aside the fact that they're obviously ripping it off, it's going to be kind of fun, you know, another vampire slayer.
I mean, couldn't we just pretend like, when is this set? Do we know when it's set?
No, I don't. 5 years later, I don't know what that means.
5 years later than what?
Exactly, I don't know.
Oh, well, if it's set like as a modern kind of vampire thing, then we could just be like, oh, this is like a Buffy spinoff and she was one of the potentials who was granted the power in the finale when, you know, Willow distributed it. So that would be great. Oh, I can't believe that that's the real synopsis. I had to click on the article to read it because I was like, Selena must be making this up.
Nope.
That's insane. How are they getting away with this?
I know. But I suppose, I mean, it is kind of, I mean, Van Helsing is a vampire hunter. So by making it a woman, I guess they are kind of, like, you can have a woman vampire hunter who's not Buffy. But it's just the wording and the like, this, you know. Yeah.
No. It's, you know, it's not the idea. I think it's actually really smart. Yeah. And, you know, I'm always happy for them, for there to be more women in roles like this. But yeah, it's just the way they phrased it is so Buffy.
Yes. Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, so, but I mean, yeah, again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, and I'm excited for this. It'll premiere in the fall of 2016 if it ends up on the air, so I hope it does.
Cool, so we have another TV story for you guys. We got our first look at Girls Season 5, so if you guys have been waiting for that, now's your chance to get something that's going to kind of quench your thirst until the show comes back later the next year, actually. It premieres on February 21st, which is a Sunday, and the promo is really fun. It kind of shows this really fun little sequence of Hannah and her mom dancing it out right at the beginning, so that kind of just sets the mood for the quirk that we have come to associate with the show. And it looks like it's going to make for a really interesting season. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up or if anybody even watches it, but all of the characters are kind of dealing with their own thing. At least that's where we last left them. So there's a lot that's going to have to be resolved this season, as always. And yeah, it's going to be a good season, hopefully. I always kind of like, the show always pleasantly surprises me. Like, it again, like Once Upon a Time, it's one of those series where I'm always like, oh, I'm going to drop it this season. But then I always end up tuning in and I end up really enjoying myself. So
I saw one scene. I don't know why. It's literally.
It's kind of like reading one chapter of Northern Lights.
It was like her in the shower and someone was peeing on her, and I was like, what the heck is going, like, her boyfriend just started peeing in the shower, and I was like, okay, I don't like this show.
That's like a great entry point. Right, to understand what the show is
basically
about.
The show, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good summary. All right, cool, well, let's wrap up the news with the weirdest story that you will hear this week. Hunger Games theme park is totally happening, to the point where they have given us a plan of what it's going to look like and also the rides that it's going to include. So everyone hold back on your enthusiasm. Like words of disgust / laughter while I run through this. So the first of these theme parks is actually going to be in Dubai. We talked about the Atlanta one last time. This is going to be in the Motion Gate Park, like a Lion's Gate, but, you know, to sell stuff people don't need. And we will get a fictional recreation of District 12. There's going to be costumed characters. There's going to be Peter's Bakery, a roller coaster that's based on the Capital trains, and a simulator ride that's similar to Star Tours that is going to take you on a hovercraft tour of Pan Am. So that's going to be really uplifting, going across the districts
the
where people
place
are
on
being...
Earth.
like tortured and murdered and oppressed. Yeah, that seems like a great use of that technology. So that's going to be great. And then apparently we will also be getting the theme park in Atlanta that will be opening in 2019. And because they're, you know, Lionsgate themed, they're also going to include such hits as Step Up and Now You See Me, which I don't even know what that is. And so also random. Divergent of Twilight.
Isn't Dan Radcliffe going to, am I making
he
this
is,
up?
Is he is, be yeah.
Now You See sequel. Me too. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad I'm not making this up.
I don't even know what that is, but cool. Anyway, this is the worst news I have ever heard. And like, I'm not exaggerating. This is like the worst thing that they could have done with this franchise.
We don't even have a glimpse of what Pan Am looks like after the revolution. So like it would be better if like the story continued and somehow like the Pan Am that we know after the series is like this happy place. And like, that's what the theme park is named after. Not even, it's just, it's all themed on the destructive, horrible side of Pan Am, which is ridiculous.
It's just, everything about this is just weird.
Let's just go to TV show that we can not talk about.
Yeah, it's just making me mad even thinking about it. So anyway, yeah, that's the worst thing ever. And that's it for the news this week. Goodbye.
Okay. You can read more about it on hyperpool.com. So moving on to TV show of the week, let's talk about more happy things. All right. So let us kick off this week with Pam. Because, yeah.
Yes. This week, I've been catching up on Jane the Virgin, which is a great show on the CW. We talked a lot about the CW and how we loved it last episode, and so it kind of inspired me to catch up on this show sooner rather than later, and I'm really glad I did because it's just so funny and so over the top and so great. And I have a Mexican grandma, and so telenovelas and all that good stuff are just like very ingrained in like the culture of her house because they were always on. So seeing some of those tropes and stuff like that are really, really like extra funny to me. But it's just really great show, and anybody can enjoy it. If you like are looking for something fun to watch, I would definitely recommend watching that. And if you are a Netflix subscriber, the first season is actually up on Netflix right now, so there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to go watch it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, it's one of those shows I want to catch up on because I really enjoy it. All right, and so Kyle.
So my show of the week is Doctor Who, because this season has just been so fantastic, and the past three episodes have been some of my favorite of the entire series, just in the way that they explore new monsters and new characters. Like Maisie Williams' character, I think, is one of the best characters to show up on the show since, I don't know, like, I would say River Song, but she's not mostly disliked. So I'm going to say, like,
it's not mostly disliked. Like, Merrima dislikes her.
Everyone dislikes her. She's a terrible character.
A lot of people dislike her. So I'm going to say she's more like Captain Jack.
Big call.
Interesting.
And when I say that, like, you have no idea. Oh, so good. And it just the way that she interacts with the Doctor and just the way that Capaldi has played off everything has just been so great. And I know you guys, I think all of you guys have just stopped watching.
Yeah.
But at least you should start up again with not this week's and not last week's, but the one before it. The first episode of Maisie Williams.
The girl who died? What is the dying girl? What is it called? Something like that.
Yeah, the dying girl, I think, is what it's called. Even if you've given up on the show completely and you haven't even watched the season, if you just start with that and you give it a chance, I think you guys would like it a lot. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks that, because there's a fantastic article on Hypeable earlier this week about why you should give Doctor Who a second chance. And
yeah,
it's spot on.
Yeah.
So
great. That's certainly, I think Laura wrote that one, and it's very true. I've heard nothing but good things. I actually went, speaking of going back to shows you've kind of given up on, I decided to watch Supernatural this week. I haven't watched it in a couple of seasons because I felt like it was just both. It was just the same thing over and over again, but it had also developed into something beyond what I originally liked about the show, which was like the two brothers, you know, riding around in their car fighting monsters. And this week, the reason I wanted to watch it is because the episode titled Baby was actually exactly that. It got back to the roots of the two brothers in their car fighting monsters, and the episode was actually from the car's perspective, so you never once left the car with the camera. So everything that happened happened either in the car or you watched it through the windshield of the car, which, or the windows of the car. And stylistically, that was a brilliant choice. And just in terms of telling this very simple story about this monster that they were fighting and showing the interaction between Sam and Dean and them just having fun, and it was so nostalgic, and I feel like it was nostalgic for the show that I used to watch and that I used to love, like almost like a reunion episode. And I know there was like lots of stuff going on and they're like talking to God and like all this stuff, but I just really enjoyed it as a one-time big fan of Supernatural. And I feel like both, like, the fans obviously loved it, but I also feel like if you kind of felt like I did and you kind of got turned off by the last couple of seasons, then this is the episode for you. I really loved it. And I also watched Supergirl, which I feel like at least Marima, you must have done as well. I watched the second episode. And
I watched the first. How was the second?
Yeah, wait, no spoilers. I haven't seen the second.
I want to say a lot of people are saying that it's better than the first. I don't necessarily think it's better, but I do appreciate what they're doing. For me, I feel like this is a show that it's kind of strange. Like, I really like it, but it's kind of strange because when you watch the show, you'll think it was done in the 90s. Like, everything about it, from the dialogue to the fight sequences to the, like, types of villains and relationships that are being set up, it's all very, like, Charmed or Smallville or not really Buffy, but there is a little bit of that, right? But that's what it feels like. It feels like I'm watching an episode of Smallville, which it's not a bad thing, because I feel like that's what Supergirl is. It is, we're getting back to this era of television where we had these great female lead characters and we had these great adventure super shows that weren't so bogged up in style and mythology and all that stuff that kind of makes, in my opinion, these superhero shows a little bit less exciting. I feel like this is a show that, and I hope it does well. I hope it continues to do well, because it's refreshing in its lightness and in its like 90s vibe. You know, it was a lot more complicated to make television back then, and I feel like that's what they're doing here too. So I like it. And that's all I have to say. I hope you guys enjoy it too when you watch it. We'll finish off with Marima and her scary, uncertain number of superhero shows that she's watched.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen the second episode of Supergirl. I also have not seen the newest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Flash, which just aired as we are recording this. But I wanted to give a shout out to the episodes from last week and also Arrow, because I just think all three shows are like really in their stride. They're all amazing. Last week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in particular was incredible.
So good.
There was like a total game changer of an episode, like for the show and for TV in general with what they did in that. It was so, so good. And also The Flash and Arrow are just killing it this season. And I'm so excited to get time to catch up this week. I wanted to talk about them. And also I'm really excited because Elementary is coming back on Thursday, I guess tomorrow as this episode is released. And it's like one of my favorite shows. So that is going to be great also. And that's it. See, I was really quick.
That's why you don't like have time to read to watch all these shows, is because you read all these books, and that's why Kyle doesn't have time to read all these books, is because he watches all these shows.
Kyle
watches like 45 TV shows a week, and I really complain about watching about four.
Oh my goodness! I was setting up like my DVR earlier this week, and it was just like I have nine shows on Thursdays.
That's just too many Thursdays for anyone. That's
yeah,
too much TV.
No, but I wanted to say like real quick, like I am so excited that Legends of Tomorrow is happening, because just brings together Flash and Arrow, and I'm like, those are two of my favorite shows a week, and I love that they happen in the same world. And with everything that went on in Arrow, I cannot wait to see how Legends of Tomorrow brings them both together.
And without without spoiling what's happening on The Flash right now, like what they're doing this season is going to be really, really interesting in terms of the repercussions across Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow, because they do a really great job of, if something big happens in that world, like you see the ripple effect in either show. And I think that's definitely going to continue on, and both The Flash and Arrow have like really big changes happening in their universes right now. So that will be really interesting to see how they kind of impact on each other, because they've done a good job of balancing that so far. And also making you feel like you don't need to watch both to understand what's happening.
Yeah. Like, that's what's fantastic is that like, well, if something happens,
they're great.
they just mention it, and that's all it is. They literally like, like what happened to Barry? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah. No, Legends of Tomorrow is going to be amazing. I'm so excited for it, although I'm not excited to have another TV show to watch each week because it's very stressful. What I find is I have to like wait until the end of the week, and then I spend like half a day just catching up on everything. That's the only way I can manage to do it, which is unfortunate for, you know, avoiding spoilers, but hey, that's the life that I've chosen, so ideal.
Yes. And it means you have time to read Career of Evil twice. So, you know, we all make our choices. And do you want to do a quick improvised Hot on Hyperbole?
So maybe you should do it, because like, I don't really know what is happening at the moment. You're probably more in touch with what articles have been up than me.
No, I have no idea. I do know we have an interview, with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes. Okay. So, hot on hyperbole. Cut here, please. Okay. Let's do a quick hot on hyperbole. I wanted to give a shout out to, actually, Kyle saw one of my articles. I wanted to give a shout out to the Doctor Who article he mentioned from Laura, which does a really, really good job of summing up this season, and actually made me feel like maybe I should give this another shot, because I did try it and then I stopped. But it's a good, it's very persuasive. So maybe that will be it. We had an interview sort of with Sarah Michelle Gellar this week, for Star Wars Rebels. I guess it was like a press conference it was a conference call, but, Mikhail did that, and that was a fun, interview. I wrote an article this week about Netflix. If you want to read that, that's cool. If not, whatever. Which was about the other shows that Netflix should bring back. And I suggested perhaps Pushing Daisies and Hannibal and Torchwood. And Brian Fuller, who created Pushing Daisies and Hannibal, seemed to co-sign on that because he tweeted it. So, like, that would be cool if that happened. If not, whatever. And this made me laugh so hard. So I want to shout out to this article that Kristen wrote, I believe, which is why How to Get Away with Murder's Bonnie is actually Paris from Gilmore Girls. And of course, they're played by the same actress. But the article does a really funny job of pointing out, like, they could be like the same character, kind of, basically. Like, if Paris's life had taken a twist after we saw left off with her, I guess, in the final season, like, this could be where she ends up, which is a crazy murdering lawyer. So that's cool. And last one for this week, an opinion article from Karen about Hemlock Grove and about the end of the series, asking if it was satisfying. So you can check that out. All of those and more on hyperbole.com, as always. The end.
Thank you. Amazing job. It's almost like you hadn't prepared anything. But it was very good. So we're going to wrap up the show this week with listener feedback. We have a bit from Hyperbole and a bit from Twitter. So we'll start with the Hyperbole comments. Allison L., our faithful listener, Allison. Kyle, do you want to get this comment?
I totally knew you were going to pick me for this one. I don't know why.
One in
Allison
three chance.
Says, I don't know if anyone listens to Pentatonix, but they released their new album a week ago, and I really, really love it. It's their debut album of original music, and they have quite a variety on the album, so I feel like there's something everyone will like on it. Definitely recommend giving it a listen. And I do like Pentatonix. I've seen their viral videos a bunch, and I really like their covers, and I had no idea that they came out with an album until like I saw your comment. So I'm definitely going to go check that out on Spotify now.
I heard one of the songs from it that I now cannot remember what it was called, but they performed it on a talk show that I now, wow, this is really specific. Anyway, I heard a song of the album and I really liked it.
Great.
I like Pentatonix a lot. Here's a fun fact. I used to be in an a cappella group when I was at university. So awesome. We were basically as good as Pentatonix. I don't know why we're not famous. But yeah. I kind of didn't really click that the album must be out, but I will also definitely check that out.
I tried auditioning for an a cappella group when I had like the flu and I'd lost my voice, and the auditions were only on that day, and I was like, please, I called them, I was like, can you hear my voice? And they're like, you have to come, it'll be fine. I showed up, I opened my mouth, and then they sent me this email going, yeah, we're really sad, like, unfortunately you didn't make the cut. And I'm like, no kidding, like, I'm still kind of mad about that. Anyway, it's beside the point. If they're listening, the ha ha ha, see me using my voice now. Our second comment from Missy. Pam, do you want to get that one?
Sure. She says, hey, I just wanted to say that I'm Team Rory. She can do so much better than everyone who she dated on that show.
Amen.
And I know you're not the only one that feels this way, Missy. Yes, you're not alone.
I feel like everyone feels that way. But if it has to be someone from the show, it has to be Jess, obviously.
No.
Yes.
Logan.
Who are you gonna pick?
No.
Logan?
What? Are you kidding,
Logan?
Kyle?
Logan was way more destructive for her.
Logan was so destructive. Like, obviously he's hot, which I know is why you're choosing him, but that's not a good reason to discount all the horrible things that he did, Kyle.
Team Dean.
Although, you know what?
I'm kidding.
Wait, but I will say that extra brownie points to Logan, because if a man like hired a coffee cart to follow me around everywhere on the first week of college, I would
I would offer
a restraining order.
So much for her.
I'm
just really mad because like I missed your Gilmore Girls conversation, so I didn't get a chance. And I just recently was able to finish the entire thing.
Just watched it. That's why Logan must be like in your mind, because you only just finished it. I'm like, you would have picked up with him, you know?
Yeah.
Makes sense. I feel like Jess comes through more on the rewatches.
Yeah, I think so too. Because I was a Dean girl before the rewatches. And I was like, yes. I know, but I was like 13. I didn't know better.
There's no excuse for picking Dean. Dean is the worst.
You know, Luke also looked way more attractive at like, you know, 26 than he did when I was 13.
It's
so
very true.
So
we could talk about this forever.
Anyway, this was
Gilmore
fun.
Girls time special coming soon.
Oh God, yes, we have
Seriously?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah,
we'll make it happen. Oh, did you not get invited, Merrima? Oh, sorry. Oops. This is awkward.
Oh.
No, we'll figure it out.
I had emotions. I'd be feeling them right now.
Yeah. So moving on to Twitter, we have if you want to weigh in on who you think Rory should or should not have ended up with, you can do that on hypeable.com, or you can tweet us at hypeablehype. Beth on Twitter says, I listened to your discussion on how the CW shouldn't be looked down upon anymore. Did you read this? ... And it links us to an article from Variety, which is like a feature on Mark Pedowitz, the CW president, who has kind of been breaking the CW out of its niche and has introduced these kinds of very varied, very strong female shows, like we kind of talked about last week. And he says something really interesting, like when they did that Emily Owen show, and it was kind of like a light bulb moment, because they realized that like they were not there to do procedurals, basically they were doing shows that connected with fans, and now they're focusing on shows that give fans what they want, basically, which is why we're seeing so many varied shows, representation and women and all that. So so yay, go him. And Kyle, do you want to pick up the next one from... No, wait. It must be Merrima's turn. Merrima, do the Kimberly one.
Sure. Kimberly says, okay, I saw all the Hamilton talk between you hypeable people, and I need a hype special on Hamilton. I have no one to talk to. Yeah, that's like really sad, Kimberly, because we're only recording one next week. So you're welcome. No, we're definitely going to record a hype special. We're probably going to record it next week. So if you guys have feelings that you would like to share, as if anyone has listened to Hamilton and doesn't have like a million feelings about it, please let us know on Twitter and or leave us a comment if you have longer things to say, which is highly likely. And this way I can talk to other fellow Hamilton nerds and stop updating everyone on the percentage of the show that I have learned off by heart, which I think is probably about 87, if you're wondering. And I've also learned Lafayette's rap in Guns and Ships. So that was my achievement of the week. And if anyone listening has listened to Hamilton, then you'll understand why I'm impressed by that, because no one on this show will.
I keep hearing about this show like constantly. It's at like my coworkers at Apple, my coworkers at Disney, and you guys all talk about it.
Kyle, the entire world is talking about this. Like the whole world is talking about
Hamilton. What about it is so amazing? Like, the premise? Is it just the music?
It's literally everything.
Like, just go to Spotify and start listening to the soundtrack, and you don't even really need to watch the play because it's all there in the music, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Just like this thought process. Like, I saw an interview about this and about how he decided to like make, like, for example, like the founding fathers, like, do hip hop, and why like King George has more of a Beatles like themed tune and stuff like that. And just like the thought process that went into this play is amazing. It's just so well done.
Yeah, I've watched and read and listened to like every possible interview that's even remotely related to this. I have watched every clip on YouTube. Like, I am completely obsessed. And I keep distracting myself from my real job, which is also American history related, by being like, American history. Like, I can listen to Hamilton. That counts as doing work, which has been terrible for my, like, ability to do anything. But, yeah, Kyle, like, musically, culturally, historically, every single aspect of this show is groundbreaking and amazing. But if anyone is unsure about it, like Pam said, the whole soundtrack is on Spotify and it's a sung through show. So there's only one scene in the whole show that isn't in the soundtrack. It's like Les Mis, basically. You can listen to it and you get the experience of the show without being there. And it's all mostly rap and hip hop mixed with musical theater and a little bit of...
See, that's why I'm hesitant. I don't like rap or hip hop.
Wait. No, guys. Are we actually doing the hype special right now?
No. We'll... seriously, like, public service announcement, everyone, just give it like three tracks, like listen to the first five tracks on the soundtrack, and I guarantee you'll be into it, even if it's not your usual kind of music. And it's all for free on Spotify, so like, what are you waiting for?
You know what, I'll listen to it and then I'll give you an update next episode.
Yeah,
there you go.
Okay.
I feel like you guys should accept voice comments for this special from listeners.
There's already like 25 people who want to be on the episode, so I don't know if we'll have time for that, but we definitely are into listener feedback because everyone has a different take on it, which is really interesting. So send that all our way.
Yes, and you can also email, of course, to hype@hypeable.com. That might be a better way to get in your Hamilton feedback, because I will sure you have a lot. And our final comment, this is Hannah. She replied to us on Twitter because we called for people to give their opinions on the Star Trek and the His Dark Materials TV series. And she said, they both sound promising, but I'm holding off major excitement until we hear about screenwriters, which is interesting. I like that she said screenwriters, because usually it's like, oh, who's the director going to be? But obviously this is TV, so the writers are ruling, you know, in this industry. So I agree, actually. It'll be interesting to see who's actually going to be adapting this. I know for His Dark Materials, Bad Wolf Productions is kind of heading that project, which I think is cool, also because they're called Bad Wolf Productions. So that gives me hope right there. And I think that's everything for this week. Thank you so much for all your feedback. And please, please, please keep writing into us and keep sharing your opinions about the news stories. If you disagree with us about anything, or if there's stories you wish we talked about, if there's stories you want to make sure we talk about, then tweet us at HypeableHype. or email us hype@hypeable.com or find us on hypeable.com in the podcast section of the site. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week for episode 73. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Arwa.
Yay! All right. Bye. Great. Bye. We did it. Bye.
End scene.
And
yay!